Chapter 6.
Where what?
I still tried to keep up the facade as Hansen stood there and shot daggers at me with his beady eyes, which were magnified by his huge square glasses.
I'm just hanging out with Janine today, Dr. Hansen.
Has he hurt you?
Hansen asked as he turned his head to Janine. Did you come here of your own free will?
Doc, you've got it all wrong. He's not a werepanther. He's just a regular human who happens to be helping me with the Egyptology part of my thesis.
You don't have to lie for him anymore,
the professor said to his student. I promise you he can't move, no matter how much he struggles.
I'm not lying.
Janine frowned.
He's not dangerous.
Tell that to the man he killed.
Hansen's eyes narrowed, and then he pulled out a small silver dagger from his belt.
Whoa, I don't know what you think I did, but I didn't kill anybody. Can't we just talk this out like adults?
Stand up and we will, the professor said with a shrug. Son of a bitch. I was used to matching wits with total fucking idiots, not people with literal PhDs about my kind. Dr. Hansen knew what he was doing, and I was going to have to think fast if I wanted to get out of this one. Janine gave me a slight nod behind her professor's back, and then I saw her hand light up with a soft glow of her yellow luck magic.
Do I have to?
I asked in one last attempt to stall.
I'm pretty comfy down here, actually.
Ha, you can't, can you?
Hansen mumbled, and I heard his blood as the adrenaline pumped through his veins.
No, I can.
Whew, I said, and then I took a deep breath. Luck don't fail me now. I started to stand up, but the red glow returned and put me right back down on the ground. However, this time I made a very important observation. It was the shitty old rug that was actually enchanted, not the floor itself. When I pulled up, I could distinctly feel the rug pull itself away from the floor below, and that was something I could use to my advantage, if Hansen didn't decide to stab me right then and there.
See? He's...
Hansen said as he turned to Janine. But then his mouth fell agape when he saw her glowing hands.
Janine? What is going on?
I haven't been quite honest with you either, Doc.
The redhead shrugged.
Let's leave it at that.
While Hansen's attention was focused on Janine, I quickly surrounded my hands with black magic and transformed them into my werepanther paws. Then I unsheathed my claws, dug them into the carpet on my sides, and started to slowly cut through it like a hot knife through butter. I had to go about this slow and steady, though, or else Hansen might jump the gun and stab the knife into my chest.
You've never shown any signs of being...
The professor started, but then he let out an sound.
A changeling? You've been a changeling this whole time and you never told me?
It never came up in conversation. Now please, Doc, Carter is innocent. He never killed anybody. Or at least anybody who wasn't actively trying to kill us or end the world or take over the city.
I made half circles with my claws in both directions around my rear until, finally, I felt it pull away from the floor. There was a bit of carpet stuck to the back of my pants, but that would have to be dealt with later. Now, I just needed to free my feet before he noticed I was escaping.
I want to believe you, Janine.
Hansen shook his head.
But the body has all the telltale signs of a werepanther attack. We can't just have people running around indiscriminately killing innocent people.
Really?
Janine said with an angry scoff.
Where were you when the Sisters of the New Moon were trying to release Ichthygo into the world? Or when Orglin tried to murder us all? You didn't seem very worried about indiscriminate killing when it was those people.
I didn't know about them. If I had, I would have tried to do something. They wanted to release Ichthygo, you say?
They did,
Janine confirmed.
And Carter killed it. You still sure you want to do this?
I bent forward and quickly cut my left foot free. Like my pants, there was still a piece of carpet magically adhered to my shoe, but at this point I figured I could just buy a new pair.
I'm sorry, Janine, but I have to do what I can to protect my students and my community.
I was about halfway through freeing my second foot when Hansen turned around. The man let out a loud gasp, and then he held the knife in his hand tightly and started to take a step further.
I'm sorry too, Doc.
Before Hansen could make his move, Janine put her left fist in her palm and then swung her two hands like a baseball bat. She slammed them into the side of Dr. Hansen's head, and the man let out a grunt as he stumbled to the side while his glasses flew off his face. My claws tore through the last little bit of carpet, and I sprang to my feet in an instant.
Keep that magic on my feet,
I ordered Janine, and we started down the hallway as Hansen tried to reorient himself.
The last thing I need is to get stuck again.
Suddenly, we heard Hansen say something in a foreign tongue from behind us, and a glowing ball of light blue magic slammed into the wall to my left. Plaster and wood sprayed out from the fresh crater the attack created, but we didn't stop for even a second. Then I heard another orb smash into the ground behind us, and I felt an intense flash of heat on the back of my legs as I ran.
Itachwa Zolomarwakali,
Hansen screamed.
What language is that?
Before she could say anything else, I suddenly felt like my body had become weightless, and I looked down to see I was now floating a few inches off the floor, as was Janine. Neither of us could move forward as we hung in the air. My arms and legs still worked, but it was like trying to run the opposite way on an escalator. A lot of work with nothing to show for it.
"An ancient Akkadian spell," Dr. Hansen declared as he started toward us. "I learned it from an old shaman over in Iran when I was there looking for signs of a Takum. It renders paranormal creatures weightless for a, well, an allotted amount of time I won't give away."
Crafty son of a bitch.
Janine grumbled as she started to look around for ways to get out of the situation.
"You seem like a nice boy, Kata,"
Hansen continued as he approached us with the knife.
"But this is the only way to make sure you don't kill again. I really am sorry to have to do this."
"I swear, Doc, I didn't kill that dude. You know there are other were-creatures running around Cincinnati, right?"
"Yeah, perhaps."
The professor shrugged.
"Though none of them have appeared on my radar. When they do, they will be dealt with."
Damn, this guy was a lot harder than I'd originally thought. "Never would have thought you were a dabbler in magic, Doc," I said as I tried to buy us some more time. "Or an expert killer of paranormal creatures."
"Really? I live for the occult, Mr. Hatfield. You can't really escape learning magic when you do nothing but read about it for your entire life. As for the creatures, I much prefer to study them than kill them, but desperate times and all that."
Suddenly, I got an idea. The entrapment spell was still on my feet and the back of my pants. I was floating helplessly in midair right now, but with a little bit of momentum, I could probably get myself up to the ceiling or down onto the floor, where I could then use my claws to move forward like a gibbon monkey.
"Grab on!"
I hissed at Janine, and she instantly wrapped her arms around my waist. In one quick motion, I leaned down, grabbed the fabric on my feet, and yanked it downward as hard as I could. Sure enough, the fabric glowed red as it stretched about an inch away from my body, and then I let it go. The enchanted fabric snapped against the bottom of my shoes with an elastic-sounding snap, and the momentum launched my body a few inches upward in the air. That was all I needed. I quickly transformed my hands and feet into my werepanther paws, and then I sunk the claws of my fingers into the cheap, foam-like tiles of the ceiling. The tiles fell away as I propelled myself forward and stabbed into another, but my plan was working for the moment. I quickly twisted my body around and stabbed my back claws into the ceiling, and then I began to crawl across the tiles like the creature from The Grudge.
"Now, wow!" Hansen gasped.
Janine held out one of her glowing yellow hands as we scurried away, just as Hansen set another enchantment and tossed a glowing blue ball of energy our way. The changeling's luck must have worked out, though, because the magic projectile smashed into the ceiling behind us and sent a cascade of cheap foam material spraying down onto the ground.
"Nice shot!"
I said to Janine as I crawled forward. Hansen kept trying to blast us, but he was anything but accurate with his attacks. The balls of energy missed their marks by a mile, and his large figure couldn't keep up with me, even when I was moving at a crawl. I heard his heart pounding in his chest as his breath increased, but then we finally turned the corner and it became a distant sound. We moved on for a few more minutes before I felt the effects of gravity start to kick in once more.
"Shit!"
I gasped as the ceiling tiles I was hanging onto suddenly gave way to our weight, and we both yelled as we fell down and slammed into the ground. I hopped up in an instant and scooped Janine up in my arms like a newly married bride, and just as I did so, Hansen came around the corner. The rotund man was completely out of breath as he raised his hand and huffed out another blast of his energy spell. This time I was completely free of his magic, so I simply sidestepped the attack and started back in the opposite direction.
"Wait!" Hansen called out. "I can't let you hurt anyone else!"
"He should consider himself lucky I'm not trying to hurt him," I grumbled as I rounded another corner and saw the exit doors. I surrounded my feet and hands with black magic and turned them back into human appendages. My shoes had been completely destroyed by the transformation, so now I just ran barefoot along the disgusting old carpet that probably hadn't been changed in decades. I slammed my right shoulder against the metal bar on the door without stopping, and it flew open in a flash. We heard another one of Hansen's magic blasts against the door as it slammed shut, but we were already halfway up the stairs and didn't even turn back to see if it caused any damage. I held Janine in my arms as we continued to the main level of the building, where I then tossed open the doors and ran out into the cold Cincinnati afternoon. I set Janine down on her feet, mainly so we would avoid suspicious glances, and then we continued onward to her car. We made it there in no time flat, so we slid into the front seats, turned it on, and pulled out into the road.
"That was definitely not how I envisioned things going,"
Janine sighed as we pulled out of the parking lot. "I'm sorry I seem to have come between you two," I said with a wince. "It wasn't my intention, and I know he's important to you as a mentor."
"Thank you, Carter."
My girlfriend flashed me a half smile.
But if I have to choose between you and Hansen, I choose you, of course. But maybe after he's had some time to cool down, I can try and talk to him again? Get him to see reason?
Yeah, maybe, I replied. And I hoped the redhead's optimism wasn't misguided.
Do you think we lost him?
She asked, as she glanced in the rear view and side mirrors. Probably, I said with a shrug. We were definitely able to outrun him. I'm honestly wondering more about how he's going to explain all the damage he caused down in that basement.
The same way I would? By saying the ceiling just collapsed on its own. The building they have him in is about as old as the campus itself.
I want to know more about this body, I said as we drove further. Do you think that Newt guy we were talking about could have something to do with this?
Maybe. Though I would have thought a were-turtle wouldn't devour the innards of its victims. Then again, that's not my specialty.
We can ask Leah. She knows all about reptiles and amphibians and all that shit. Still, this is kind of a problem. One we might be fighting on two fronts. Do you think Hansen's going to keep coming after us?
Does he know where to find us, even?
Janine pondered aloud.
I mean, I never told him anything about how I'm living with you or about Cincy's jewel, so for all he knows, we're just retreating back to my dorm. If he's starting his search on campus, then it gives us a little bit of a head start to try and figure out what we can do about him.
Let's hope so. If he keeps coming at us like that, I don't know how long I'll be able to hold back.
He means well. He's just very stubborn and kinda up his own ass, which means when he gets an idea in his head, he refuses to acknowledge the possibility he could be wrong. At least until somebody else comes up with some concrete evidence to prove him wrong.
I don't know how we can prove I didn't kill this person. Unless we somehow have Naomi figure out a spell that can take us all back in time and we record the attack.
If that was the case, why wouldn't we just stop the attack?
Janine teased with a waggle of her crimson eyebrows. All right, smartass, I said as I smirked at the woman. In the hypothetical situation where we hypothetically time-traveled back in time, we could just stop the murder instead. Problem solved. Hypothetically. As we drove along, I pulled my cell phone out of my pocket and began to look for Leah in my contacts.
Are you touching base with the others?
Yeah. It's been almost 2 hours since they left to go look for Valerie, so I figured by now they would have found out something.
Let's hope so.
My girlfriend said with a frown.
Leah seemed awfully worried about her this morning.
I opened up Leah's contact page and then pressed the call button as I held my cell up to my ear. The line rang twice on the other side before I heard Leah's digital voice.
Carter?
Leah asked in a somewhat panicked voice. Oh, that couldn't be good. It's me. I wanted to check in with you guys and see what was going on.
Val wasn't in her dorm, Carter.
Leah's voice trembled as if she was on the verge of tears. It's all right, I promised the polywarm. Are you sure you didn't just show up when she was in class?
Yes, I talked to her RA. They claim nobody saw Val come home last night.
My heart dropped into my stomach at Leah's words. Do her parents live around here? Maybe she was so mad she decided to go crash at their place for a while so we couldn't find her.
I appreciate your optimism, but Val's parents are 2 states away. She wouldn't go all that way just for an act of spite. I think something may have happened to her.
We don't know that. We just need to keep looking. Were there any places around the city she loves to go? Places where she might be hiding out? A boyfriend's house or a popular bar, maybe?
Val wishes she had a boyfriend.
Leah scoffed. Though it sounded like she sniffled immediately after.
And there are a couple places we always went to with Becca, but none of them stay open 24/7.
Have you checked in with Becca again? Maybe she's heard from Valerie.
Nothing! She's starting to get a little freaked out, too.
I opened my mouth to respond, but then I glanced in the rearview mirror and saw a campus security vehicle pull up behind us. Oh, fuck. Looks like we got company. He must have hidden away behind that old campus sign.
What the fuck is this guy doing?
Janine asked as she looked up in the rearview mirror.
I'm not speeding or anything.
Suddenly, the car's lights turned on, and his siren went off twice as we were blinded by red and blue lights. Ah, shit. I grumbled into the phone. Leah, go check some of those places you were telling me about. Janine and I are getting pulled over by campus security.
Ask them if they've seen Val!
We will. Just hang in there, okay?
Okay.
Leah said in a somber tone, and then her line went dead. What the fuck happened? I asked Janine as she pulled into a nearby parking lot. Why is he pulling us over?
I don't know.
The redhead shook her head.
My plates are current, and I have all the proper stickers on my vehicle, unless they changed the speed limit around here since yesterday and I'm going over it. Or maybe this guy just wants to make his monthly ticket quota.
I tried to make sure I played this cool. Sure, I could very easily overpower this guy and give us a clean getaway, but there was no reason for that yet. Also, the last thing I wanted to do was draw more attention to ourselves, nor did I want to cause a scene and get Janine thrown out of school. Janine's studies were her life. It was what made her happy. And there was nothing I would do to put that in jeopardy, ever. We rolled to a stop, and the security officer pulled up behind us. Then he stepped out of his vehicle and approached us with his hands on his hips in a very overtly macho fashion, until he got to the driver's side window and tapped on it lightly. When Janine rolled it down, we both found ourselves face to face with a guy in his mid-30s, with a buzzed blonde head covered with a gray and black drill sergeant hat. The security officer wore a lighter gray button-down shirt, with two breast pockets closed off by gray flaps, the same color as his hat. A set of blue combat cargo pants finished off his outfit, along with two dark gray shoulder stripes and a black belt that holstered his gun, taser, and the receiver for his walkie-talkie. The man had the corded speaker of his walkie-talkie clipped, just to the left of his neck, and he chomped gum like a cow chewing cud as he looked Janine and I over.
"Afternoon, folks,"
he greeted us in a very unfriendly tone.
"Nice day for a leisurely drive, isn't it?"
"Is something wrong, officer? I was only going 10 miles an hour.
"Your speed wasn't why I pulled you over, ma'am. I pulled you over because campus security just got a call about two suspicious people who vandalized the basement of Larney Hall."
Janine and I exchanged a fake puzzled look, though we both knew what had happened. Hansen had called security and told them we were the ones who destroyed the ceiling and walls and the hallways around his office. If he couldn't physically catch up to Janine and I to stop us, then he was going to try and have campus security do it for him.
"That's a shame,"
Janine said with a frown.
"One of my favorite professors has his office down there."
"Really? What did the poor bastard do to deserve that?"
"Told the truth,"
Janine said in a firm tone, and I heard the defiance in her voice.
"Uh-huh," the man shrugged. "Well, it's an anonymous tip, so it's probably nothing. But I saw you two driving away from the building, and I figured I needed to at least check it out. So if you both want to hand over your campus ID so I can scan him into the system, then I'll have a few more questions for you."
"I don't have one. She's the one who goes here. I'm just her boyfriend." Janine handed the officer her student ID, and he looked it over carefully before he glanced back and forth between the two of us.
"So, what were you doing on campus then, Mr.
Hatfield. She wanted a study buddy, but she didn't want to do it at my house or in her dorm room."
"My roommate is really, really noisy,"
Janine lied. "And my apartment is kind of located in a shitty part of town, so I try to keep Janine away from there as much as I possibly can."
"Studying, huh?"
the officer continued.
"Where at?"
My first instinct was to say the library, but then I realized that was all the way over on the other side of campus. If either of us said that, he was going to instantly realize something was off.
"The CCM,"
Janine blurted out.
"We were studying at the CCM."
"The music building. I thought you just said you wanted to get away from the noise."
"The music building isn't the same kind of noise. It's way more peaceful than listening to a bunch of shitty rap remixes from down the hall."
"Or my roommate's constant talking about Supernatural. Like, seriously, I think she's a little too obsessed sometimes."
"She's totally got a life-size cutout of Jensen Ackles in her closet." I joked, and Janine let out a slight giggle. The officer cleared his throat loudly, and we both snapped back into serious mode.
"You two seem pretty calm for what you're being accused of. If you really did vandalize university property, you know you'd be looking at fines and possibly jail time."
"Well, that's fine and dandy because we didn't do it. Who called in this tip again?"
"It was anonymous. That's all I'm going to say."
"I know who it was," I said with a chuckle as I looked over at Janine and played it coy. "It's probably your favorite buddy, Dr. Hansen."
"Oh, right."
Janine slapped her forehead as she played dumb and looked back at the officer.
"Did he have a somewhat throaty voice? Almost like he constantly had something stuck in the back of his throat?"
It took every ounce of my willpower to keep from busting up laughing at this point, but I held it in.
I cannot say, ma'am. It was an anonymous tip."
Did the guy use a bunch of big words and overuse words like certainly and indubitably?"
"Again? I can't say."
"Well, if that's the case, it's Dr. Hansen who called it in."
"You can't trust him either. Are you familiar with his field of study?"
"Paranormal archaeology,"
my lover added.
"The last time I saw him, he told me he once fought off a Bigfoot in Kansas."
"I'm aware of who he is."
The officer rolled his eyes.
"We've had a few run-ins with the professor before."
"Then you know just how unreliable he is when it comes to telling stories. If you ask me, he probably blew up some chemicals trying to recreate alien blood or something, and he needed a scapegoat."
The corners of the officer's mouth twitched, but he retained his composure.
"I find the kind of odd you two match his description, though."
"He's my mentor for my thesis project, so he's around me all the time. It's probably just the first image that popped into his head."
"And him?"
"Oh, I'm one of the dudes who always relentlessly makes fun of him. Mainly for trying to get my girlfriend sucked into all the crazy shit he does. He probably wants to get me in trouble, so I'll stop."
The officer stood there for a solid minute in silence, as he just stared us down.
Finally, he patted the edge of Janine's open window twice and straightened back up. "All right, you two," he finally mumbled. "Have a good rest of your day, and try not to piss off any more loony professors, got it?"
"Got it."
Janine nodded, and then she rolled up her window as the officer began to head back to his car.
"Well, that was close."
"Damn, Hansen! I really don't like calling him crazy, but he didn't make this easy for us."
What exactly did Hansen think confronting us was going to do? Even if they really thought we did it, I would have just overpowered him and we would have escaped.
"Don't try to figure out how that man's mind works,"
Janine said with a sigh.
"You'll go crazy trying. So, what's the plan? Do we want to go help the others look for Val, or should we head back to Cincy's Jewel?"
I think we should meet up with the others, but back at our lounge." Janine gave me a nod, and then we pulled out of the parking lot and toward the main gates of the UC campus. We passed through the west entrance of campus and then out onto one of the back roads by the forest.
"I wonder if this is where they found the jogger's body."
Janine shuddered as the trees passed us by on the right side of the car.
"Kind of creepy to think there was a random murder so close to campus."
"You mean one that wasn't an OLG member?" "Yeah, it is kind of weird. But I would bet my left nut it was that slimy turtle guy, Newt. Unless we're dealing with a completely different creature that's strong enough to destroy trees with brute force and tear a human being in half."
"Honestly, with our luck, we very well might be."
"Fair enough." We drove on for another mile or so, until I saw something moving out of the corner of my eye. "Heads up," I said as I pointed off to the right. "I think there's a deer or something in the forest."
"Thanks."
Janine chuckled as she slowed down.
"I'm a poor grad student, so it's not like I can afford to replace this piece of shit."
"Come on now." I rolled my eyes. "Ada would foot you the money for a new vehicle for sure."
"But it wouldn't be mine then, would it? It would technically be Ada's car. I'd just be the one driving."
"You really think Ada would do you..." I started. But then whatever was in the forest took a step out onto the road. But it wasn't a deer. It was a person. A woman, to be precise. She was about 5'6", with a full figure, mocha skin, and emerald green eyes I could see all the way from back here. Her hair was short, straight, and brunette, and she limped out onto the street in a haze. The woman's business casual clothes were all torn up, including her top, which had been torn off at the shoulder and hung down around her bra like a gown, and her whole body was covered from head to toe in splotches of dirt and blood.
"Holy fuck,"
Janine sputtered, as she rolled the car to a stop on the side of the road. The woman trembled as her wild green eyes looked over at us, and she weakly raised her hand to wave. "Valerie. Janine, that's Val."